Hallo iedereen en welkom bij een nieuwe versie van de Giants Fancast. Bij ons vandaag Phil Cover. Hi Phil, welcome to the Fancast.
Thank you for having me.
Can you introduce yourself for us, please?
Yeah, I'm Phil Cover. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm 24 years old and this is my first year overseas.
Your first year?
Yes, sir.
You're from Atlanta?
Yeah.
I only know Atlanta from the Summer Olympics in 96, the year you were born then.
Yeah, I was born in 96, so I don't quite remember that.
You won't remember the Olympics?
Yeah.
How was it growing up in Atlanta?
It was actually pretty good. I was born in Atlanta, but I'm from Fayetteville, Georgia. So Fayetteville, Georgia is probably about 30 to 45 minutes from Atlanta. So yeah, I'm kind of on the outskirts of Atlanta, but I do be in Atlanta a lot for sure.
And how was it for you as a teenager?
It was pretty good. I think everybody goes through, you know, always something, but it was like it ends out good and the bad. So it wasn't always good, but yeah.
You had some rough times as a teenager already?
Yeah, definitely. I think growing up it was kind of not too bad, but I think later down the road it started to get, you know, bumpy. But it wasn't always good.
And how did you end up then playing basketball, or how did you get to the right path?
Yeah, sure. Really, to be honest, I used to hate basketball. Like my seventh grade year, I was wanting to go to a tryout, and I was like, Dad, I don't even feel like doing it because I just like to play video games. So my dad kind of like pushed me. He was like, you might as well just go try it, son. So I went to go play basketball, made the team, and I wasn't too good. And I just kept playing. And then eighth grade, I started to dunk, and then I'm like, hey, this might be my sport. So I just kind of took off with it from there.
And your sports is like, was it a family thing then?
Pretty much. My mom did track. She played at Tennessee also. She played basketball. And then my dad was an NFL player. He played at Tennessee football. And then he played for the Detroit Lions for 10 years.
Professional player.
Yes, sir.
So you had to go into sports. Video games was not an option for you.
I mean, kind of, but they weren't the type of parents to kind of push me like, yo, do this, do that. They were just, if you like it, just try it. So.
And how were you as a high school kid?
I was pretty good. I was always a guy that kind of everybody knew. Like I was good in high school in basketball. I went from, I think my ninth grade year, I played straight varsity. So I was a guy that always pretty much dunked everything, you know, a guy that everybody loved and stuff. So it was cool.
And then how did you end up coming of what made you decide to come to Belgium or to go overseas?
Yeah, pretty much the opportunity. G League wasn't working out. I played G League my first year. Then the second year, they kind of narrowed everything down. Like they kind of cut people off because, you know, COVID and stuff. So after that happened, I'm like, shoot, I got to go across the waters anyway. So I did that and yeah, here I am.
And you had the opportunity for Belgium.
Yes, sir.
COVID was a bad situation then in the U.S.?
A little bit, just from, you know, G League, just how everything worked out with it. But I think it was definitely cool just to experience it, you know what I'm saying? So just to be able to play with top people, learn, you know, a lot of things. I think now it's me learning from going from G League to overseas. So it's like overseas is like a lot of help in basketball. And then G League is like kind of not a lot of people play defense.
No defense? No.
It is defense, but it's like, I guess it's more open. Like the lanes are more open, so you can drive more and, you know, do your own thing pretty much. So
it's a big difference then for you.
Big difference.
And you were able to adapt quite quickly also.
Yeah,
to the
At first it was kind of, I wouldn't say confusing, but it was just me, you know, adapting to it pretty much. You know, here it's like it's basketball, basically fundamental basketball, I feel like. And G League is kind of more, I guess, fast paced a little bit, but here you kind of, you know, run into your plays more, what we in and that type of stuff. So
that's more individual.
Yeah. G League, I feel like it's more individual.
And did you know Belgium before you came here? Had you heard from Belgium?
Nah, not at all. I think I watched a few clips on highlights and stuff like that when I heard about it, but besides that, I didn't know nothing about it.
You did some research.
Yeah, I had to do some research.
Then you came to Belgium, but we also have the COVID pandemic. So how is it for you to be in a different city, not being able to go out?
Mm-hmm. It's not too bad. I think I came at the right time. So when I came, I think it was pretty much kind of stuff was open a little bit. So I wasn't here when everything was like shut down. But I think in Atlanta, it was kind of shut down for a few weeks and stuff. And even when I was in G League, so I got kind of used to it. But I guess it's different because you overseas. So I think it's been pretty good so far. I love the city. I love the views. So I think it's been good here.
And how do you handle with being homesick? Do you have any issue with being homesick?
Be honest, not really. But I really can't say nothing because I've only been here for like a few months. I know there's guys on the teams that have probably been here for way, way longer. So I really can't even say it. I don't got to say so to do that. But
yeah, but for you, it's the first time, huh?
Yeah.
First time away from everybody?
Yeah. I don't think it's too bad. I think I got it pretty good because my flight was only 7 hours and I had a 1 hour flight. So I don't feel too far away from home, but I think the time difference is kind of weird because I'm going to sleep while my brother is still up and stuff like that. So I guess it's kind of weird. I think you know everybody goes to that phase where, dang, I do miss home, but I think you just got to push through it.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
It's not easy at all.
Ups and downs.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway,
a lot of time.
You have a lot of contact with your brother?
Yeah, we pretty much talk every day.
That's currently the only family because your parents passed away in 2019.
Yeah, definitely my brother. Then I have, it's like a family member I met in Florida State. So they pretty much text me all the time. I go there for Christmas. I go there for a lot of the holidays. So I met them, I forgot the year in Florida State, but I met them there and they've been, I feel like my second mom, second dad ever since, so.
Because you were quite young when your parents passed away.
Yeah. I was, I think, about 22, 21. And that's when I was in college. So they passed away in the same year. So, yeah, it was difficult. But I feel like just the people around me and, you know, people that have been helping me out, my brothers helping me out, we were just kind of, you know, holding each other up. You know what I'm saying? Just keep telling each other, we got to keep going. We got to keep moving, so.
Those days are tough.
You need
some support because otherwise, especially if you weren't a good kid in the past, always then there's always something looking behind the corner.
Exactly.
So you have to be strong.
Exactly.
But you came out good.
Yeah, exactly. You still got your days. I think everybody still got their days. Think about, you know, the good times and sometimes you think about the bad times, but I had to get out that moment of always saying I'm good. And I think I was that kind of the kid. I got that from my parents, was saying I'm good. And somebody asked me, how you doing? I'm good. And I had to kind of sit down. I think COVID kind of humbled me. I had to sit down and say, nah, you're not good. So you need to, you know, talk to somebody, talk to a family member. So I talked to a few family members. I was talking to them and be like, I remember this with my mom. I remember this with my dad. So I think just kind of conversating, if I had to help anybody out who went through the same thing, just kind of talk it out instead of saying you're good all the time. So I think that's what I learned.
And that makes your family bonds.
Yeah, way stronger. So everybody else start getting their stuff out. Because I come from a family that always say they're good. My dad used to say he's good when he's not good. So.
And do you speak to your brother then often, like daily or?
Definitely daily. I think before we kind of didn't speak as much just because we were kind of so like, me and him were just thinking so much. So I think we would just think about our parents and stuff like that. So we were close, but we were kind of doing our own thing, kind of. But I think ever since my parents passed, sad to say, we kind of just started to get, like, we got to do this together. We can't be alone no more. So
that's a new start point in your life.
Exactly.
He's still in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a sportsman or?
He used to do track and basketball, but he stopped that. Right now, he's just working a job. I think it's Amazon and stuff like that. So it's been good for him.
Okay. Last year, you played G League.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have special memories from G League?
To be honest, my first year, I think it was kind of rocky. Because I came out, it was kind of after my parents kind of passed. So it was, my mom was all over the place. So it was like, for me, to be honest, like basketball was like my last thing. Like I was just going out there, like whatever happens. So, and I don't like to use that as an excuse, but for me, that I feel like that's what it was. And I think basketball is basically a mental aspect. So I think that's what it was. And I wasn't playing too good with my first team, but the second team, and with the Memphis Hustle, like I was playing with the Skyhawks. Then I got waived by the Skyhawks, and I went to the Nets. They got waived by them, and then it was Memphis Hustles when I started playing good and started playing, you know, more like myself. Because the coach was like, I know I've seen all these stuff, but I already seen you play before. I know what you do. So he kind of trusted in me. That helped me out, gave me confidence, and I started playing good. So,
yeah, I read an article that I think it was from the Hustles that they said like you were the dunking king.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely.
So we're very excited to see some more action from you on that side.
Sure, got to.
And do you have like special rituals before basketball, before a game?
Before games, I pretty much just pray. And I kind of look at pictures of my parents. Just I'll be going through all my pictures in my phone. I'll do that. And just kind of just listen to music. I'll just sit back, stretch, just think. And then I'm good. I'm good to go.
Special meals?
I'm trying to think what I eat. Nothing too crazy. Sometimes I do pancakes. I'm a breakfast type dude. Mm-hmm. So I'll do pancakes probably before. But nothing too crazy with the meals.
Because you're vegan as an athlete. It's for us in Europe, it's not very common to see athletes to go completely vegan. Don't say that is wrong, but I mean, does it give you satisfaction? Why is there a reason why you are vegan?
Yeah, definitely. I think in college, I was hurt kind of a lot of times, but at the time where I wasn't hurt, I was being my best self. And I think the times where I was hurt, but I was still playing, I was kind of not feeling myself, not feeling like bouncy at all. I wouldn't be able to dunk. So I'm like, there's got to be something more to this. So I just started doing research and stuff, and I just started kind of changing my diet. And once I changed my diet, it was like I was going to practice feeling fresh. I was dunking before. I had some of my friends be like, yo, you back to your old self? I'm like, bro, I haven't felt like this in forever. Be able to dunk, be able to, you know, be above the rim like my old self. Because that's always been me since high school. So just to be able to do that and get back to my old self, I've been feeling pretty good. So. Mm-hmm.
And how do you adapt to Belgium then to be vegan? Mm-hmm. Do you find all your resources? You find all your...
Yeah, definitely. I think my agent actually kind of like, he asked the coach, he was like, yeah, Phil, he's vegan right now. He doing this. So is there any spots around? So he kind of just did a little research and just started looking around for me and picked out spots. So I've been going to those pretty much ever since. So it's been a blessing really just to have that stuff close to me too.
And you cook yourself?
Yeah. Sometimes it's the same stuff, but it's good.
So going to groceries and then nice.
Yes, sir.
And what do you think of what's your impression of Antwerp then as a city to go shopping and to go?
It's good, man. I think, and it's the best part is like the grocery things are not crowded. So for me, the ones I go to is like organic spots. So when I go in, it's literally like nobody in there. So I go in and I'm out there in probably like 15, 20 minutes. So.
And have you done some sightseeing in Antwerp?
Kind of. I went to a few parks. I don't know the names of it, but I went to one park and it was good. Like sunny, you see the sun. It's not too hot, not too cold. So every time I've been going there, it's been pretty good.
For the basketball part, what do you think, what are your best strengths?
For me, I like to be on the outside. I like to stretch the floor. I like to drive, you know, finish 3 points. So I'm kind of a guy that kind of stretches the floor. I think that's one of the key things for me. And a lot of people don't know, I've never been that guy in high school. I used to not be that guy in high school. I used to be that dude just to dunk everything. I couldn't shoot this and that. So ever since college, the way they adapted me helped me a lot. So definitely stretch the floor out.
Yeah, you're quite athletic, eh? The games I saw, you're everywhere,
yep.
Constantly on the hunt for the ball.
Yes, sir. I think that's the one of the key things for me is definitely, you know, getting open, be able to, you know, be a high flyer and stuff like that, so.
And what's your goal or your strength for the team?
Definitely be an energy guy on the defensive end also, not just the offensive, but I think definitely being an offensive threat, you know, like I said, just stretching the floor, be able to help other people get open. And I think that's what I do. And I think I'm, you know, great at for my team. So.
And for the season, do you have, of course, we want to go for the championship. Mm-hmm. It's still doable.
Mm-hmm.
Except this year as playing in Belgium, how do you see your future or where do you want to be in the future?
Definitely. I think my goal is definitely still, you know, the NBA. I think I love going overseas. I love, you know, going over waters, but I think definitely just playing in the States. You know, I got a lot of teammates in the NBA, and I always one point in my life on a, you know, NBA draft type thing where people was like, oh, Phil might go second round. So I'm just basically trying to, you know, get my name back in the talk. And I think, you know, after that year, I had a great year. It was in college. I was most improved. And I was, you know, again, talked about in the NBA teams and stuff like that. And then next year I got hurt. So me just building myself back up, be able to show teams that, you know, I can still play.
Mm-hmm. And if there wasn't, if there wouldn't have been basketball, where would you be then? What's your backup plan?
Yeah, be honest, I don't know. Probably something now, just from seeing everything going on, definitely something with speaking, probably something with YouTube, maybe something like that. But it was crazy. I never used to like to talk. I never used to talk a lot. I used to be the quiet dude. Like, if you know, if you talk with Phil, then you must know him. So definitely something with, you know, talking or, you know, podcasts, something like that. So
you have your own YouTube channel?
Yeah, yep.
If you want, you can make a little bit of advertisement.
Yeah, definitely. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Phil Kofer. If you like fashion, clothes, or, you know, daily life, definitely subscribe to that.
You made a few from when you're in Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a lot of positive reactions?
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy. Actually, when I first started doing YouTube, it was a lot of people that was in Belgium that said, oh, you over here in Belgium? So it's a lot of fans that kind of follow me still over here. So they've been DMing me, kind of telling me. I put on my Instagram saying, yo, anybody know where a barber is? Anybody know where this is at? And they will, you know, answer. So it's been good.
And how did you start YouTubing? What was your drive to start YouTube?
Sure. It was really my first video. I wanted to do a day in the life. See, I think like my whole life I like fashion and pictures and stuff and video. And I'm like, shoot, I might as well just start a YouTube channel. So I started it. And it started to blow up so quick. And I was like, I got to keep doing it. So ever since then, I haven't stopped.
And then after basketball,
mm-hmm.
say in 10, 15 years, where do you like to be? Or what do you like to be then?
Definitely own a few businesses. I don't quite know yet. I'm still in the making. You know, I'm just taking it day by day. But definitely want to do something where, you know, my family's good and, you know, my brother's good and we all settled down so much where we just, all we do is just go outside and just chill.
Yes, okay. That's about it for me, I think. I really want to thank you for your time. Thank you for the interview. And hopefully we can see a lot of dunking in the upcoming weeks.
Definitely.
Voilà. Dat was het voor vandaag. Hopelijk tot binnenkort voor een nieuwe podcast.